These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to the Left Wing from inside the Stade Velodrome in Marseille. Well, who saw that coming?
You did, Sinead. You tipped Ireland, the fairness one.
I did the scoreline wrong, but yeah, I had a few shaky moments though earlier today. I was kind of thinking, oh, I do not know. I should be more realistic, but yeah, I don't know, it's a kind of blind faith or what.
Still feels surreal, doesn't it? Just
the whole night was a bit strange, I found. I know I said beforehand, like, the atmosphere did live up to the expectation and the, like, I'd never heard the Marseillaise song with such gusto. It was really special.
It was.
But I don't want to start off with this necessarily, but I thought France were ridiculously flat for a team who'd just been through that experience. Like, surely if you were ever going to be fired up for a game, it was after that. And Ireland, like, it was like the World Cup was just a bump in the road. Yeah. You know, like something they didn't really, you know, didn't knock a sock. You know, we've talked to all of them. We know how they talked about having PTSD last week, but at the same time, they turn up, they were accurate. The, you know, the changes in personnel didn't bother them. You know, they
welcome
were
welcome back the Irish lineout as well.
Their lineout was very good. They fixed the things that had gone wrong. Now, France didn't contest particularly well, but it was a really complete Ireland performance, in keeping with, it was more like the 17 wins in a row than maybe what went wrong in the one defeat in that cycle, which was obviously in the most important game. But I think, you know, it just showed that this Irish team, They've been knocked for six by that World Cup, but they've bounced back very strongly, and, you know, they should go on and win a Grand Slam now, because that was the most difficult fixture on the agenda. And what an impressive way to come to France, score five tries, record win, albeit against 14 men, but that was a self-inflicted win. What a stupid red card.
Well, should he even have come back on the first time, do you think?
I thought there was enough moving parts in the first one to make it a yellow. Yeah, I thought. But, like, to get, you know, it just, what I find strange is, like, we watch Irish teams all the time. By and large, Irish teams have kind of cut out those high tackles, but and France are a fairly squeaky clean team most of the time. But for Lemse, who's an enormous man, to be tackling that high, like, the impact he would have had on Andrew Porter and Caelan Doris in both those moments was profound. You know, I mean, I thought Porter looked very shaken. I'm surprised he came back after his HIA. And it was such a silly thing for an experienced player to do, and it put his team on the back foot.
And as what harm, they've got Jerome Garcés in the background. We just saw him there as we were in the mix zone. So clearly, you know, they got him in a few years ago to focus on the discipline and the breakdown and things like that. But yeah, you're right, Rudd. It was self-inflicted, and the fact that he did almost the same thing twice just beggared belief, really. But, you know, obviously it was a factor in, I suppose, the size of the scoreline, but I still wouldn't take anything away. Not saying that you are at all, but I wouldn't take anything away from that Irish performance. I think it showed how much of a well-oiled machine I think Ireland is at the moment. Like, so many question marks over what they'd be like without Johnny Sexton. How would the attack flow? It wasn't perfect, but wow, what a statement, I would say, from Jack Crowley. There was always going to be errors. He had a couple of errors, you know, a couple of decisions, I'm sure he'd probably
some
take
of those
back
conversions. Were.
Conversions, but it's his mental strength not to deviate from his own game plan. I thought his scanning for Tadhg Burns' try was exceptional. You can see it on the replay that he spots Mo Vaca in the line, and you can see him calling to Tadhg Burns just a couple of seconds before he plays the pass. And how well Ireland's tack flowed. I thought the quality of the tries that they scored was seriously, seriously good. And that's a massive feather in the cap for the coaches, I think, as well as the players. Because like I said, to do without Johnny Sexton, to do without Mac Hansen, who is so important to this Irish attack, but Calvin Nash just slotted seamlessly into the system. What a way to mark his Six Nations debut with a try. And then you have big Joe McCarthy living up to the billing. I mean,
I was thinking this morning about him. I was thinking, I know he's ready for the Six Nations. Is the Six Nations ready for him? He was immense.
I mean, if he hadn't announced his arrival already like that, this very much was.
My favourite part, though, was the way he kind of showed off his mullet when he was
It looked like he got a fresh trim as well. He had his championship haircut and he brought his championship game. And, you know, maybe people in France weren't fully aware of Joe McCarthy before tonight. Well, they are now. I know you've been consistently saying this, Rudd, over the last while that he's going to become the cornerstone of the Irish pack, and you can see why. He is just immense. Like you said, Sinead, the line-out was so much better than Sheehan, and Tadhg Burns calling it. He doesn't obviously always do it. It's usually James Ryan's responsibility, but you see how important the line-out is to Ireland's functioning, you know, and when that goes well, everything kind of hums off it. So it was just so impressive from start to finish. I thought it was just so impressive. They had to ride a couple of storms as well, but the mental strength they showed was remarkable. I think will really stand to them over the next few weeks as well.
Yeah, I think like that goes back to Crowley, and you touched on it there. And it was what Andy Farrell put praise on him for was that he wasn't perfect, and Johnny Sexton wasn't perfect. You know, Ronan O'Gara had games where things went away from him, but what Crowley at the age of 24 was able to do was to park those moments and to focus. And they talk about this all the time, being next moment focused. And it sounds like a bit of a mantra or a cliche, but you can see it in action tonight. He misses a kick from in front of the post that he's been kicking in his sleep since he was under 12 in Bantry getting medals off, or Bandon getting medals off Peter Amani. And he misses a kick in the biggest game of his life. And most players, like, you know, most normal people would be completely shaken by that. But Ireland get the ball back and he just runs 10 incredibly accurate phases, and that moment that Keane talked about, and I thought that showed a player who's ready for this level, a player who's going to make mistakes. Like, he's going to kick the ball dead, he's going to, you know, they all make mistakes, you know, we shouldn't expect superhuman things from them, but all you can do is learn from those mistakes, park them and move on. And I thought he did that very impressively tonight. And I thought Ireland learned from the mistakes of the past. And like, Byrne was a very interesting selection because Ian Henderson called the line out against New Zealand and against Scotland, and James Ryan would have done it previously, but they backed Tadhg Burns, who's been involved in a bit of a grueler of a season for Munster. He's playing loads of minutes, hasn't always come up. He was very good in Toulon a couple of weeks ago, but his form, he kind of admitted himself during the week that his form dipped a little bit, the responsibility captaincy. And my God, did he look like he was delighted to be back in green.
What did Andy
tonight.
Farrell say? He was a freak of a player or something like that?
He's a hell of a rugby player, I think he said. And he is. Like, he's a
big
footballer.
Game player, isn't he?
And the way he charged down Luke, I mean, they got in Luke's head. They just got in his space. Yeah. They just made his life miserable.
Who would have thought Anton DuPont would be missed?
Yeah. I didn't think they missed him that much, but they did. They just were smarter than France tonight. Like, they had a really good game plan. They kicked the ball. I thought they stayed patient with the kicking game. They used James Lowe's boot absolutely beautifully.
I've never seen it used as much.
So smart.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
The thing about I like about Crowley as well is the fact that he brought his own personality to the game. He didn't come in and try and be Johnny Sexton. One of his early kicks, he got charged down by Gregory Audrey, but it didn't stop him from trying a few different things with his kicking game. It didn't always go according to plan, but to not retreat into your shell in that kind of environment is just so impressive from a 24-year-old who, like, let's face it, we all thought he would be ready for this kind of stage, but he had to step up and prove it. You know, he's had a couple of tough moments with Munster over the course of the season, but that was a real statement that, you know, a lot of people, I think, would be concerned, you know, naturally, like life after Johnny Sexton, but the future is bright, I think, you know, not to get carried away, but that is a big responsibility on a 24-year-old to come in and replace arguably the greatest player that the country has ever produced, and he did it so well.
Yeah, he did. And afterwards, Andy Farrell just spoke about the composure that the team showed, but he also had these words to say about Jack Rowley.
There's no doubt that a young kid who playing in a position like Jackie is at 10 with the responsibility of that, but then obviously all week and rightly so. Everyone's talking about how we're going to deal with not having Johnny at the helm, etc. And Jack's going to be the one that has the first shot of filling the shoes. It definitely creeps in. I mean, everyone, you'd be a liar if you say it didn't, but he gains his strength from knowing that his teammates are prepared and there to help. And I thought his composure of the line was great. He made some really nice decisions and some poor ones at that as well. And he'll know that more than anyone else. I mean, the strength of character in regarding his goal kicking when he missed the one in front, albeit from a longer distance, but then to knock them over from the sideline, two on the trot from the sideline, shows immense character, really. So it's a good start for him. It's a good start. It's a good start for us as a team, and hopefully he'll get better and we'll benefit from that as well.
We were talking yesterday just about that this would be a real test again of Andy Farrell, the manager. My God.
It's very impressive what he does, the way he speaks about the team, how aligned what he speaks about is with what the players do mm-hmm. on the pitch. You know, I mean, sometimes
everything matches up.
Yeah, it really is. And it's unusual because, like, sometimes he's not the most effusive talker. Sometimes his press conferences are a little bit frustrating that he doesn't go into huge detail about certain elements. But what he does go into detail about is team backup on the pitch. And, you know, he talks, you know, last year was all about adversity. I think the psychological element, he and Gary Keegan have invested heavily in that side of things. And you can see the belief that this team has. Like, we saw what effect the World Cup has had on that French team. They were a bit of a rabble tonight. Like, Galtier was so unimpressive in his press conference after the game.
Under huge pressure now as well.
Enormous pressure. He basically abdicated responsibility after the game. He wouldn't really analyse the game. He wouldn't talk about it, which I thought was really weak.
They embodied a World Cup hangover, I thought. They looked really still shaken by that. And look, I mean, Irish supporters were obviously gutted with how the World Cup played out, but it was far worse for France considering everything that they invested into home World Cup, and you could see that it's still lingering.
They looked rattled, and they looked, I mean, it was a far worse performance than they delivered in their World Cup quarterfinal. It was nowhere near the level that they were at, whereas Ireland, like, to go away, you know, the provinces haven't been going great. Leinster are being a bit clunky. They're trying to learn a new defensive system. Munster squeaked through in Europe. I mean, there's no Ulster players in the team, that they've been so bad, and a couple of Connacht players who haven't had, you know, I don't think Bundyaki's been as good as the World Cup Bundyaki, but then here he is again tonight. So Farrell took them off to Portugal and has just been able to find this kind of, it's almost like what Warren Gatland used to do for Wales. He's like, whatever you've done in your provinces doesn't really matter that much, but I'm gonna harness what you're doing here. And even the bench that he picked, brought them all on at once at a moment where they've just scored a fourth try, so the game wasn't really in the balance, but they powered home. The fact that they went for the corner rather than kick the points when they didn't really need an extra try, but they wanted to make a statement to this French team and to the rest of Europe that they're here to be taken just as seriously as they were last year. And like they've now got a 9-day turnaround into an Italy game, then they welcome, you know, what we expect is going to be a very poor Welsh team to Dublin. Then you go to Twickenham, essentially what is going to be the key game in the rest of the tournament, because Scotland are coming to town a week later, and you know, you would expect it to be Scotland and Dublin. Like, it's opened up beauty for them. This was the hard game, the hardest game on their agenda, and they made it look so easy.
Not a bad night for Peter O'Mahony to take over as captain. It is, of course, the fourth time since 1972 that Ireland have beaten France in France. And he spoke afterwards just about Joe McCarthy and just also what tonight's win means to him.
I think it comes back to, again, he had some great moments in the game, and then, you know, the moments that you need to get rid of, he did that, you know what I mean? Moved on from, you know, he had a penalty in the second half, you know, just got on with the game and continued to get better and better. And, you know, that's something we have to hang our hat on at the moment. And you know, you saw it from young guys and old guys alike, you know, just playing the game. And I thought he was outstanding tonight. I don't think it gets any better, really. You know, the stress of the last couple of days, I'd have given the whole lot up for a win tonight away from home, first game up Friday night in Marseille in the Velodrome. I'd have been a happy man packing the whole lot in today, tomorrow morning, if you'd given me the chance to take a win. And
you know, trying to say something?
No.
Hey, you're going to pack it all in?
No, I'm not. No, it has to be right up there, you know. I think it's, I said inside, it was the biggest margin that we've beaten France by, you know. I remember as a young fella, you know, watching Irish teams and you'd be hoping you'd hang on in there, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, it's a different animal now.
So what about the set piece?
Well, I mean, the line-out was superb. You know, Dan Sheehan's throwing, Burns calling. I thought France could have, like, if France watched Ireland at the World Cup, you would have thought they were going to throw a few bodies
they
up.
They got their team selection wrong. Like, yeah. I mean, I know I said it yesterday when we were talking, like, I just can't believe they didn't pick Cameron Waukee. Yeah. I mean, one of the best line-out operators in the world against what was a struggling Irish lineout. It made no sense to me. I didn't think the selection of Mo Fanna really worked out either. So I think they kind of got a couple of key selections wrong, but massive feather in the cap for Paul O'Connell, wouldn't you have to say, because he was under pressure. Like, it's
absolutely. I suppose they got it wrong in the lineout. Where it worked was in the scrum, where even without Valemsa, they were the dominant force. And when they brought on Pasola Tuilagi and the new front row all at once, they blitzed Ireland. And that's an area, I think, when you come up against your France and South Africa in particular, maybe England, but maybe not. I'm not quite sure. That's where Ireland can't. That's where teams will look at Ireland and think they can get on top of them. But not many teams can outscrummage that Irish pack. But even with McCarthy's size in there, that's something they can really hone in on this week. John Fogarty won't be happy with the way the scrum went. I mean, Dixon, I think, did a little bit of levelling up across the game as well. There was a few that went again. I mean, there was one where Sheehan went to ground. That could have been a reset. He gives a penalty. That was a pretty pivotal moment because it just came after that Jack Crowdy had gone up and won the ball and got a penalty given against him, which I thought was a very harsh call and could have turned the game. Like, that was a big moment. But like, Gabriel Ags goes up down and scores a fairly dubious try, but the way Ireland responded to that was very impressive again. So they overcome. I mean, a scrum can get on top of you. We've seen in big games at the World Cup in the last couple of years, if your scrum's going, you know, that no scrum, no win line. But Ireland were able to cope and play their way around it. There wasn't a whole lot of scrums, but it's still an area that they have to work on.
Yeah, there's no other scrum, I would say, in the Six Nations that have what France have. I mean, you know, you mentioned England. I don't see them on the same level at all. But it is still, you know, the reliance on Andrew Porter. Even though Keane Healy did do well when he came on, but when Porter goes off for that HIA, you are kind of panicking a little bit. I know we had the jury that we had up online earlier this week, and I think most people
was
answered...
Was the one where I predicted an Ireland win, was it?
Yes, it was. It was. I think most people answered the question, who's Ireland's most important player? And usually the answer was Johnny Sexton, but it's Andrew Porter now. So, look, the fact that we're sitting here talking about a record win in France and kind of picking holes in the performance, like, just bodes really well. And, you know, like, Andy Farrell has never, I think, shied away from the ambitions of this team. They went to the World Cup believing that they could win it. There's no doubt now that I believe that they won't shy away from the talk of winning back-to-back Grand Slams. Like Rudd said, it really opens up nicely for them now, whereas I think maybe Irish teams in the past maybe would have been a little bit afraid. It could have come across as arrogant or cocky, but I think internally now that will be massive driving ambition for them.
And in the first half as well, they left chances out there. So, and obviously there was the Dante moment as well you know, there is stuff that they can...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they were held up over the line again, which is something they'll be looking at. I mean, that was a bit unfortunate.
How frustrating is that? It's like, Leinster had it a couple of times against Leicester a couple of weeks ago. Like, I know the defence, like, you've got to give credit for the defence, but when you have your big ball carriers, I mean, maybe I'm just so scarred by Ronan Kelleher at the World Cup, but it's...
In fairness to Josh Van der Veer in that moment, it was just after they broke off the scrum, went down the right with Jack Crowley. Really good move. They spotted the space, they went for it. And I think Aldridge, Gibson Park goes to give the ball to Van der Veer and he's over. If he gets the ball out, but Aldridge just gets a hand and slows the ball down by 2 or 3 seconds. And it was cynical hurts, play, but he got away with it. And by the time Van der Veer got the ball, the French had reset. Now maybe he needs to hit the deck and lay the ball back rather than get held up over the line because the reward isn't there. But that's, again, like a technical thing that they need to work on. I mean, the pass from Crowley to Aki to just comes off the hand, like that's a try. I think he's got him away there, potentially a deliberate knock on.
I couldn't believe that.
So there were moments in the game where they had France where they wanted them and didn't take the chances, but like, they're never going to take every chance. And if you compare it to the way Leinster have been playing in terms of their attack, it was much smoother, it flowed much better, it didn't look as clunky. And considering it's a lot of the same players, it's a fairly good endorsement what Farrell's been doing with them in the last couple of weeks, in tandem Mike Capp, but I think Farrell does most of the kind of the phase attack.
Yeah, I think they need to be a little bit more patient. I know they scored 5 tries, and again, you're like picking holes in an outstanding performance, but like, there was one time in the first half where Ireland had advantage and Jameson Gibson-Park tries to throw the long pass, where if they just stayed a little bit patient, there was a period in the second half where I'm pretty sure they butchered overlaps on both sides of the pitch in the same play against 14 men. So they're the little things that they're going to have to tidy up, because got to be clinical when you get into the 22. But like I said, to score five tries is amazing. But to think that they actually left a couple out there is remarkable, really.
We should probably give Hugo Keenan a bit of a shout for his two tackles on Damien Renault. Yeah. I mean, the first one was really important. It was in the opening second minute, maybe, and he drills him into touch when France got a bit of an overlap. Mm-hmm. And then when France were coming, I know they scored a couple of seconds after, but it was a bit like DuPont against Mack Hansen last year. Mm. You know, the way he drilled him back. I thought he hurt himself in the process.
Another player, but he
looked okay now coming out the mix on. He was a bit battered and bruised. But, you know, we'd like, there was a lot of really show. I haven't seen Jonathan Bradley's ratings, but I'd say it's pretty high across the board. I thought it was a very complete Irish performance. And I just think that's so impressive considering what they've just been through and how they've only just come back together. It wasn't maybe as blitzkrieg as the game in Wales a year ago, but what they're able to achieve in a short space of time just bodes so well for what they can achieve over next year. And we have people, I mean, all I have to do is look the replies on my Twitter, people saying, they didn't do when it mattered at the World Cup. But all they can do is, you know, rise to the challenges that are ahead. So win a Grand Slam, then go to South Africa, beat them twice, then come back and beat New Zealand and Joe Schmidt's Australia in the November and go unbeaten for the year. Like, that's all they can aspire to do. And you can be sure that Farrell is very good at theming or kind of coming up with reason or things that they can aim for, because the World Cup's too far away to think about right now. You know, 2027's a world away, so they've got to keep motivated, but they look like a seriously motivated team out there.
Yeah. I thought Robbie Henshaw was immense as well. Yeah, I mean, obviously he plays most of his rugby at 12. It's not an easy switch to go from 12 to 13. I know he's played loads of 13 across the course of his career, but I thought he was excellent for Leinster against Leicester a couple of weeks ago, and didn't really miss Gary Ringrose. And I was a little bit concerned, I have to say. I just think Ringrose is generally so important to Ireland's overall play, but didn't really miss a beat at all. And again, I think that's a sign of how comfortable everyone is within the system, that you have guys who are able to slot in and out, and that's a massive credit, I think, to the coaches as well as the players.
Yeah, I think they should keep Marseille on the Six Nations itinerary.
Look, I have to say, if the fans looked like they were enjoying themselves in terms of just being a little bit warmer than it would have been in Paris this time of year, it was a great place to watch a game. It was such a cool stadium. I'd love to see Ireland take a game to Cork someday and just kind of change it up. It's lovely to, I don't know, mate. As I said, I've said before this week, we're so lucky that we get to go to all these games, but it is nice to have a fresh place on the itinerary. And it was an incredible experience tonight, and Ireland would be quite happy to come back here. It's a bit like Chicago. It's got its own place in the pedestal.
No zombie. There was ole ole. They had the Irish fans, I don't know if you noticed, like separated around the stadium.
They did,
so
yeah,
there was pockets. It wasn't just like big crew, but they made themselves heard.
Oh,
I mean,
they
did. The Fields Vatanoi ringing around a few times as the players were doing their lap of honour. Ole ole was ringing around. So like Peter O'Mahony, we just heard him in the clip there, summed it up well, I thought. I mean, we're also used to being scarred by, you know, Irish teams coming to France, and to come here and score five tries, a record win, is just immense, really. So it was just such a positive night.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. Well, a magnificent night. That is it from us. The Six Nations is up and running. Thanks for watching.